The teacher stepped from the limousine. I had no choice, he told himself. Remy sealed his own fate. The teacher had feared all along that Remy might need to be eliminated when the mission was complete, but by brazenly showing himself in Temple Church, Remy had accelerated the necessity dramatically. Also, Remy's prints were all over Chateau Villette and on the listening post, and now the police were there. Minutes later, the teacher was crossing St. James Park. Only two people now remain, Langdon and Neveu. They were more complicated. At the moment, however, the teacher had the cryptex to attend to. Gazing triumphantly across the park, he could see his destination. In London lies a knight, a pope interred. As soon as the teacher had heard the poem, he had known the answer. Even so, that the others had not figured it out was not surprising. I have an unfair advantage. Having listened to Sonnier's conversations for months now, the teacher had heard the Grand Master mention this famous knight on occasion, expressing esteem almost matching that he held for Da Vinci. Yet how this tomb would reveal the final password was still a mystery. The rain was getting heavier now, and he tucked the cryptex deep in his right-hand pocket to protect it from the dampness. He kept the tiny Medusa revolver in his left, out of sight. Within minutes, he was stepping into the quiet sanctuary of London's grandest 900-year-old building. Just as the teacher was stepping out of the rain, Bishop Aringarosa was stepping into it. On the rainy tarmac at Biggin Airfield, Aringarosa emerged from his cramped plane. He had hoped to be greeted by Captain Fash. Instead, a young British officer approached with an umbrella.
Bishop Aringarosa, Captain Fash had to leave. He asked me to look after you. He suggested I take you to our London headquarters. He thought it would be safest.
Safest? Aringarosa looked down at the heavy briefcase of Vatican bonds clutched in his hand. Yes, thank you. Aringarosa climbed in the police car, wondering where Silas could be. Minutes later, the police scanner crackled with the answer. 5 Orme Court. Aringarosa recognized the address instantly.
The Opus Dei Center in London.
He spun to the driver. Take me there at once. Langdon's eyes had not left the computer screen since the search began. Several hits appeared, but so far nothing relevant. Langdon was starting to get worried. Getham had gone to prepare tea. Some minutes later, as Langdon grew ever more fearful they would not find what they came for, the screen read, The Gravity of Genius, Biography of a Modern Knight.
Gravity of Genius? Langdon read aloud. Bio of a Modern Knight?
Getham stuck her head around the corner.
How modern? Check the hyperlinks.
Langdon summoned up the keywords. Honorable Knight, Sir Isaac Newton, in London in 1727. His tomb in Westminster Abbey. Alexander Pope, friend and colleague.
I guess modern is a relative term,
Sophie called to Getham.
It's an old book about Sir Isaac Newton.
Getham shook her head in the doorway.
No good. Newton was buried in Westminster Abbey, the seat of English Protestantism. Cream and sugar?
Sophie nodded. Getham waited.
Robert?
Langdon's heart was hammering. He stood up. Sir Isaac Newton is our knight. Sophie remained seated.
What are you talking about?
Newton is buried in London, Langdon said. His labors produced new sciences that incurred the wrath of the church, and he was a grand master of the Priory of Sion. What more could we want?
What more?
Sophie pointed to the poem.
How about a knight, a pope interred? You heard, Miss Getham. Newton was not buried by a Catholic pope.
Langdon reached for the mouse. Who said anything about a Catholic pope? He clicked on the pope hyperlink, and the complete sentence appeared. Sir Isaac Newton's burial, attended by kings and nobles, was presided over by Alexander Pope, friend and colleague, who gave a stirring eulogy before sprinkling dirt on the tomb. Langdon looked at Sophie. A, as in Alexander, Pope.